Okay, Pirkei Avos, we're up to Mishnah Tesvav. Again, just selecting a few highlights from some of the statements. Shammai is the speaker in Mishnah Tesvav. We had several Mishnahs previously with Hillel. Shammai says, there's a few important statements, but the first one is, Asei Sorascha Keva. Your Torah or your Torah learning should be something which is fixed or set. I think there are a number of important lessons that this communicates. And that is that, first of all, a person has to have a fixed schedule, a good schedule, which is true not only in terms of his learning, but in general. Especially, I would say, at this time of year, this circumstance, not this time of year, but these circumstances we're in now, it's very easy for a person to fall into a rut and to, like, you know, be lazy and we'll do this later. It's good for people. Most people operate best when they have some kind of a fixed schedule. It doesn't mean you have to stick to every last second, but, I mean, in general, a person has to have a fixed time. And the truth is that... we know, Chazal tell us that a person shouldn't say that, well, you know, later on, I'll learn later, I'll have more time later. You won't necessarily have any more time later. You know, you may not have the time come up, and therefore it's preferable to fix a set time for your learning. And this is a lifelong idea. Notice it doesn't say that that's all that a person has to be doing. It's understood that many people are not going to spend their entire lives doing nothing but learning all day. If you can, and that's the profession you're into, and learning and educating works out for you, great. But for most people, that probably is not going to work out. But you still have to have a say, so you have to have a fixed time to learn every single day. However much time it is, that the person has to determine on his own. But it should be a fixed time, whether it's, many people learn before Shacharis, have Daf Yomi or whatever it is. That's not Daf Yomi, but whatever you learn, there's a fixed time. I think one of the hidden benefits, actually, of Daf Yomi, aside from the fact that it got people to learn, exposed people to Gemara, and people debate whether it's good, it's not that good in the sense of the learning accomplishments, because it's hard to retain, and people go through it quickly, and they have to sleep. Okay, there are pluses and minuses and everything else, like with everything else. But one thing it did, it gave people, the Daf Yomi Shia is at 6:45, or whatever time, before Shacharis. Or at 8 o'clock at night, after Mar. A person has to have fixed time for learning. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Again, I think it's a good piece of advice in general that a person has a fixed schedule. Again, it doesn't mean you don't have to be flexible. Sometimes things come up. But as a general rule, this is the time. This is the time I'm learning. And the idea really is, I think that a person's time in learning should be the learning time. And when you're not learning, it's not the learning time. Meaning, do what you do properly. Do everything the right way in an organized fashion. I once heard a story about a young fellow, a yeshiva boy, a high school age student, who didn't stop going to his general studies classes, to math and to science and so forth. And he didn't go out to play ball or to goof off. He went to the base manager to learn. And his father was concerned, that he was not taking the study seriously and, he wasn't taking his learning seriously. I'm sorry, his general studies seriously. And he said he should go to class. He said, no, he wants to go learn. So they agreed to go ask of Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zohar Rochem, at that time was a Munsi, and whatever he would say, so the boy explained he wants to go learn. And I would have said, Yaakov was going to say, he wants to go learn, Avadi should go learn. And Yaakov said, no. He said, if you're in a school where this is what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to be in math at this time, in English at that time, history the other time, whatever, then that's where you have to be. You don't steal away from that to go learn. Okay, because the truth is that creates an attitude of Israelis in general. Because, if you'll skimp out on that time, so later you'll skimp out on your learning also. You want to discuss with your father going to a different yeshiva where they're only learning, that's something else. But if you're in a particular place where this is what's required, then even to go learn, you shouldn't cut out and neglect your other things, because it leads to an attitude is that my schedule, what I'm supposed to be doing, is unimportant. I can always switch. I can always move. I thought it was a very, very fascinating, and this is in one of the biographies, I thought it was a very fascinating response, because you can apply it to anything. If a person is going to cut out of whatever it is you're doing, even for learning, all right, once in a while something happens, but on a regular basis, not to put your full effort into what you're supposed to be doing is going to lead you to have a poor attitude about the learning and about the davening, because I can always switch, I can do this, I can do that. And he, Rabbi Yaakov, seemed to have felt, if I understood the Torah correctly, that no, there should be a fixed time. And if this is a time for learning, there's a time for learning. If this is a time for something else, then do the something else. If you start playing around, then it's not going to work. And that's Shammai says, I say, Sarah, Sarah, Kedah, should be a fixed time. And whatever it may be, it may not be a person in business or a person in graduate school, whatever, may not have as much time to learn as you have when you're in yeshiva. Okay, but have a fixed time. Have it, and during this time, this I don't do anything else. Yeah, and a rare exception, but I don't do anything else. This is my time for learning. I think that's an important point. I say as far as keva. Of course, the word keva also, we have a pasuk. It was read in the Shabbos HaGadol, in the pasuk in Navi Malachi. It says, "Hayikba goy lekim yikba," from tricking, tricking. Matem Kovim. Remember those two? Can take a look in the end of Malachi, the last parak. Matem Kovim. Kuf Bei Zayin is the, and it relates to trickery, perhaps even the name Yaakov, Yabai Akveni, to jumbles the letters a little bit. But in any event, some say, I say, Sarascha Keva, that no, the times have come where you can steal a few moments to learn. Not from another activity that you have to be involved in, but when you're just waiting around anyways. I think I heard the name of the Chassam Sofer. I don't know if he said it or not, or someone else said it, but it's an interesting point. It says you can become a Talmud Chacham, you can accomplish something in just 1 minute. What do you mean 1 minute? 1 minute over here, 1 minute over there. You're waiting online in the bank. We have an expression that goes dead time. There is dead time. You're not doing anything else. You're waiting anyway. You're waiting someplace. So have a little safe in your pocket. Today you can have on the phone. You can listen to something or whatever. That means also Torah Keva. If you're supposed to be working and you're being paid to do a job, so then, as I said before, you shouldn't take time out of that, even to go learn, because you're supposed to put your effort into what you're doing to do it properly. But when you're not really doing anything anyhow, kind of just waiting around, someone's supposed to pick you up, you're supposed to go here, you have to wait online over there, you go to the motor vehicles bureau and you have to sit there for 45 minutes and so on. So why should you waste time? You bring something to read, you bring something to learn, a mishnah, something that fits in your pocket. Or today, again, you can sit on your phone and you can hear part of a sheet, you go for a walk. That's what means also, say Torah Sakeva, steal away a few minutes when you're able to learn. I do want to mention, he also says, Amor ma'at v'asei harbe, which we know. But the last thing is, having mekabel is called Adam b'sever ponim yafos. Okay, the idea is you're supposed to greet somebody cheerfully. You show somebody a pleasant countenance. I mentioned this in the past. You can't imagine what a smile or an encouraging look can do. It doesn't say it to say a word. You don't say anything. Just somebody says hello to you, you say hello back. Today, again, there's we feel it because you have this social distancing, right? What they're calling social distancing. Well, my wife, I think I said, didn't say it. She said it's not the right term. It's not social distance, physical distancing, right? We can be socially connected. We just can't be physically close to each other. But, you see somebody on the street, I once mentioned on the shul, just to say good Shabbos to somebody, that's not a lifelong commitment to the person, right? Just say hello. You give somebody a Shalom Aleichem. The Gemara says, I forgot, it was Yochanan Zakkai, I think, that nobody ever beat him to say good morning, even a non-Jew. He always said good morning to somebody. You acknowledge another person's presence. You greet people cheerfully. Speaking about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I'm also in that same biography, I think, read that when his children were sitting shiva, so you can imagine the scene, a nun walked in, wearing her uniform. A nun walked in. Now, those who know the area in Muncie, so there's a church, it's a firm neighborhood, there's one church, I think it's still there, right in that area. Anyway, this nun came, and people were wondering, Yaakov Kamenetsky, when they go out the door, and so on, so what's the connection? So she simply said, I want to tell you one thing, all right? Every single morning when this rabbi was going to his services, and I was going to my religious activity in the church, we crossed paths. And every morning he gave me a smile. People saw a picture of Yaakov Kamenetsky. He had a very cheerful smile. He always smiled and he said good morning to me. And she said, around here, not that many people say good morning to me, around this neighborhood. But he made sure to say good morning to me every single morning. I just wanted to acknowledge that. Anyway, that's in general, Sefer Ponim Yafos. The next Mishnah in Gamliel, so we saw already the idea of Aseh Lecha Rav. Okay, we saw that already. But he also has an expression here, histalek min hasofik. This is a wonderful piece of advice that touches on numerous different issues. Okay, Chazal have an expression, ein simcha ka'taras hasfekas. you know, when you're in doubt, you have anxiety, and there's the greatest simcha is when you resolve the doubt. And it's true. You have to try and keep away from uncertainty, from doubts. And I think there's several layers of meaning here. First of all, don't put yourself, if you can, don't put yourself in a situation to begin with where, you know, the situation of uncertainty, right? In other words, people should make, it's very important, people should make decisions. So many people have difficulty making especially important decisions. Important decisions should not be taken lightly. But, you know, certain people, I know people, you know, it's a condition almost, you know, I think it's technically psychological, it's called something or other. But, you know, I mean, I remember a particular person for a couple of years had an unfinished part of their house because they simply couldn't decide they should do this tile or that tile and back and forth. And you sat for you know, so the place was unfinished and partly uninhabitable. Okay, or at least not fully inhabitable, fully usable, because they simply couldn't decide to put in this type of tile or that type of tile. Okay, maybe it's a big decision. It's expensive to figure out, you know, you want to spend and to do it. But ad kan, there comes a point. Histalik min hasafek, keep yourself away from uncertainty. Doesn't mean you should make flippant decisions. Doesn't mean you should just make a snap judgment decision without weighing them. But it comes a point, the person has to decide. Histalik min hasafek, weigh the things and then come to a conclusion and then don't look back. Then don't look back. Histalik min hasafek, you made the decision, okay, barring, you know, something, you know, outlandish, don't look back. Be happy with your decision. Histalik min hasafek. That's one thing. Don't put yourself in situations of uncertainty. Sometimes those shakers come up. Sometimes things in life come up that are uncertain. So that requires, don't just move on and ignore it, you know, and live with that annoying anxiety, okay? Rather, do what you can to solve it, to figure out what's the best thing for me to do under these circumstances. Right now, we're living with a certain amount of anxiety. Nobody knows what's going to be tomorrow, what's going to be. Now, it's going to come back in the fall. It's not going to come back in the fall. It depends on this, depends on that. You know, to me, I don't know if you saw yesterday, a useless statement, you know, oh, it could come back again in the fall. Maybe it can, you know, in the flu season. I don't know. I don't know if that enough about the medicine by any stretch of anyone's imagination. I don't think they know that much about this either, to be honest. But that's a different point. But even if, why should you depress people and say, oh, we're going to have to go through this again in 6 months from now? I don't think that's what they meant. They kind of backed away from the statement. My point is, don't live with, we live with anxiety. It's not good. It's not good. Be firm. Here's what I have to do. It may be, you may have to, you know, reboot, to use today's terminology, or to recalibrate, you know, whatever it says in Waze, you know, when the rerouting. You have to reroute sometimes. Things don't plan out. We all had to reroute this year, you know, after Purim, around Purim time. We had to reroute. But it doesn't mean now we sit in anxiety and uncertainty. We can have knowing uncertainty in the back of our head, but it can't impact who you are. The person has to best foot forward. If we're now involved in learning, we're now involved in work, we're involved in our activities, we're involved with our spouse. It's tough. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's Histalik min hasafek. The Mishnah Yud Zayin, Shimon Beno, Shimon son of Shimon Gamliel, says that lohamedrash ha'ikar ela hamaisa. Okay, it's a very important point. It's not just the learning that's important. We know this already. Okay, this is really a person. You're not, you know, a person is judged, so to speak, by his accomplishments. A person is judged by his accomplishments. You know, many people involve themselves in learning. And I said the other day, it doesn't necessarily impact your personality. The greatest people who understand the basis of learning, they have to behave a certain way. You know, we're coming up in just a couple of days, the yard site of Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, one of my rebbeim. I think the yard site is after the third of the year, I think, was the date, as I recall. But in any event, you know, one of the things which was just astounding about him as a person, aside from his tremendous breadth of knowledge in so many different areas, you know, and obviously in the Torah world, you know, just, you know, shots at his fingertips and so on, but also in the so-called secular world, the tremendous breadth of knowledge, now is not the time. But the staggering piece of his personality was what kind of person he was, with all the knowledge and everything else, but what kind of refined character he was. Okay, it's not just studying and just learning, but that has to impact who you are as a person. If it doesn't, then the learning is insufficient. As I said before, as I said in the past, it's, the learning can't be just an intellectual exercise. And finally, the last mission, this parak, Mishnah Yud Ches, Mishnah Gamliel Omer, Ashor Shadvar Ma'olam Kayam. Okay, the world stands on three things. Now, this is a little bit different. Okay, here the began by saying Torah Avodah and Gvuras Chasadim. Here he has you know, kind of like what's even further underneath that is, you know, Torah, of course, is there. Okay. But here, his three things are Allah Din, Allah Emes, Allah Shalom. Okay. And those are, again, Mefarshim kind of relate those two, those three to the three at the beginning of the parak. I want to focus on something else. Okay. It's interesting that, you know, sometimes Emes and Shalom can be contradictory, right? To tell the honest truth or what's, you know, the hard truth, it's sometimes hard. It sometimes destroys the peace, right? You want to tell the truth. So somebody asks you, you're a guest in the house, oh, would you like another bowl of soup? So was the soup tasty? You know, was it good? So you don't want to offend the person. So you're not going to tell the truth. A white lie. You'll say, oh, it was delicious. So please have another bowl. Oh, you know, that's the last thing I want. Right. So yeah, so sometimes, you know, to, you know, the Emes and Shalom can be contradictory. And, you know, so you have to strike that balance. On the one hand, Chosom Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Emes, right? On the other hand, sometimes Shalom has to triumph, to weigh the situation. We know the famous Machlokas, actually, Beisham and Beisilo, regarding Ketzem Rakhtim Lifnei Kala. What do you say in front of the Kala, right? Do you say Kala Kamosha Hi? Well, whatever she is, you can't lie. Right? You say, oh, she's just a beautiful Kala. It's a beautiful Kala. No, it's beautiful. What do you mean? Maybe she's not so beautiful. How do you lie about that? So, and the Beisilo said, no, you can't do that. That's what Beishamai says. So I was just saying, whatever she says. And Beisilo says, no. Beisilo says, you have to say, Kalanova Chasuda. Some say it means, well, every Kala is beautiful in her own way, however you interpret it. But it's not necessarily the 100% pure truth. But sometimes, for the sake of Shalom, you have to bend the truth a little bit. You have to look at the situation. You find the Chumash. Right? We find a Chumash by Avraham Avinu. When Avraham said, when Sarah said, my husband's old. I'm old. My husband's old. The Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avram. She said, she's old. You know, to say about her husband. Shalom Bayis. What we have by Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu and the brothers made up a whole story. After Yaakov died, they made up a whole story. They told him to forgive Yosef. Whatever. So there are times when we can, you know, Mishanim. Now, Shalom, Sugis, and Gemara. It's not for right now. But Ketzer Rakhtim Lifnei Kala, sometimes you bend it. What I never understood is why they made the song out of that passage. Because it sounds like you're singing that song. Think about it for a moment. You're singing that song. You're saying to this Kala, good thing for you, we hold like Beis Hillel, right? We're going to say Kala Nova Chasuda, right? Because, you know, even if it's not true, I don't know. Anyway, but be that as it may, that, you know, but there's an interesting point, okay? The Kotzker was known for Emes. Emes because Tismach, right? Emes Emes Meretz Tismach. Emes because Tismach, Kotzker was known for Emes. It's interesting. There is a Medrash which records a debate between different Midos. Whether the world should be created, the world should not be created. If you're not Medrash, you know, the world should be created. Different Midos stood forward, came forward. And, you know, some say that, you know, Shalom said the world can't be created. People fight. And Emma said that people lie. On the other hand, there are other Midos that stepped forward. Two other Midos stepped forward and said, no, the world should be created. Because, okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, took Emes out of the equation, and it was 2-1. Emes taken out of the equation, so it's 2-1 in favor of creating the world. He threw Emes down to the ground. Emes couldn't be part of the equation. So they raised the question, why didn't take Shalom out? Also, it would have been 2-1. Right? Shalom and Emes were the two anti, so to speak, creation midos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Emes out of the equation, right, threw it down to the ground, so to speak, down to the earth, and now it was just 2-1. Shalom is the only one objecting. You lose 2-1. Why didn't you take Emes out of the equation? I'm sorry, why didn't you take Shalom out of the equation? Why pick Emes? So I think they say from the Kotzker, because you can't outvote Emes. It doesn't matter if it's 2-1. Emes is Emes. It could be 100-1. Emes is Emes. Emes will win. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take Emes out of the equation. Okay, then you can have a vote. But M is in the equation, so, you know, M is not something which can be outvoted. But again, as I said, a person has to stand for what's true, but you have to balance that with Shalom, with good Seichel. And that's why they're all both mentioned here, M is and Shalom. Here they get along, even though sometimes M is and Shalom conflict. Here M is and Shalom get along or need to function together. We say, oh, so Shalom b'mromov. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make peace, even in the heavenly spheres, right, between the different parts of the nature and science in general that are quarreling, and fire and water and malachim and everything else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also Shalom and Romov, so he can make peace here in the world too. So you have to strike that balance in Emes and Shalom, because both of them are fundamentally sodos for the creation of the world and the existence of the world. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll have Shir 11:30, right? So... Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, yeah.